The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The US President Donald Trump is set to receive a luxury Boeing 747-8 during his three-day trip to the Middle East. The aircraft is being gifted by the Qatari royal family. It's going to be upgraded then to serve as Air Force One in what is being touted as the biggest foreign gift ever received by the US government. Now, joining us to talk about this in detail is aviation expert, airport safety and security auditor Kevin Byrne. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, this is an aircraft that the president is already familiar with.
Yes, indeed he is. It's a strange story, this one. First of all, I need to put something to bed. Air Force One isn't an aircraft. It's a radio call sign given to a fixed-wing aircraft on which the President of the United States is actually flying. If he's in the helicopter, which you've seen on TV, that's Marine One, the green helicopter out of the front of the Oval or the White House and so forth. So it's a call sign, not an aircraft.
So it's not the Marine One, for example. It could be any number of equipped choppers.
Yeah, and when he was in Dublin or in Ireland, the former presidents would have the, it's a VH-60, a Black Hawk, basically. They call that Air Marine One, you see. So Air Force One has become one of two Boeing 747s, which are in service now for 30 years or so. They replaced the 707 that was, you know, in service for years and years before that. I first saw it when President Bill Clinton came to Dublin. I think you were covering this on radio yourself. And we got a good close-up of the first Air Force One. And I got a very privileged look at Air Force One again, a 747, when George W. Bush came to Shannon. I got under the wing of it, which is very close for non-American people to be. So it's a fabulous aircraft, I must admit, though.
Now, the actual 747 that the Qatari royal family have is a luxury palace in the sky. So there'll be lots of gold and glitz, I presume.
Yes.
But that does not, gold and glitz does not protect a president.
No. And just if I can run through, as I said, there are, when you get Air Force One, you also get Air Force Two, which comes behind it. People don't know this. Two 747s fly about 50 miles apart. So the second one comes in to cover in case there's a breakdown on the first one. Most people don't know that. You know, it's not something they publish, but it does happen. Now, the aircraft, both types are exactly the same aircraft. You couldn't tell them apart from the serial number, but they have various fittings as well as luxury. They've got anti-missile devices. They're visible behind the engines. They've got flare dispensers, which can, you know, distract other missiles coming up towards it. They have radar warning receivers. And from an air defense colleague, I understand they've got radar suppression devices. So in other words, they can switch off radars on the ground because they're powerful enough to transmit that kind of thing. So it's quite a fixing. To do that to a civil aircraft is quite difficult. So I don't know if it will have the protection required for the president to be in this aircraft, even
now,
if he fits it out.
Were he to try to fit it out, I suspect it would take years. They'd have to take it apart
in Boeing
HQ and put it together again while adding the ancillary equipment. So this might not never be done if the whole rationale is he's going to use it as a private citizen afterwards, that he might never use it in unofficial business between now and the next election in 2028.
Indeed, yes, Pat. There's a couple of pop-ups that come to me just over the weekend. One is that the top of both Air Force Ones, we call them that for the sake of argument, they've got different antennae suites. In other words, there's communications, satellite, secure communications for military purposes. They can even speak to submarines under the surface of the oceans, you know, on the current ones like that. And they constantly update them. I looked at a photograph I took in Shannon some years, 20 years ago now, and they've got a different suite of antennae on the roof. So they're constantly updating the security and the communications devices on it. Because if it's a problem, the Air Force One gets airborne with the president, it can also flight refuel. So he can stay airborne in technically for 30 or 40 hours before having to land again. And that won't be the case with the new aircraft because, you know, it won't have any flight refueling equipment in that regard. The other point I thought was curious, and it came to me just as I re-looked at the interview, the infamous interview between President Trump and President Zelensky, on the table in front of them, and this is also, you know, the Oval Office, they've got a big round, you know, a coffee table. There's a model of the new Air Force One, the new 747-8, which should have been delivered 2 or 3 years ago, might be delivered, one or both of them, in 2027 or 2028. So I wonder, is he making a point against Boeing? Why would you put a model, it's supplied by the manufacturer, in the new Air Force colors, sitting on the desk in front of everybody? It was there for the president. It was there for the UK and Canadian prime minister's visits on television recently. So is President Trump shining a light on Boeing's inaction in supplying flying the new aircraft because it is a most unusual thing to do.
And what are Boeing saying about the delay in getting the latest model of Air Force One to fly?
Boeing, as you know, have had huge problems supplying the commercial airlines, the 737s, the 777s, all that, and they're still not up to speed yet. Some of the equipment they said didn't fit or wasn't equipped, or they changed the specification. So this has been rolling on for years and years. Considering that the president is such an important person and that the aircraft is, you know, it's a very good ad for them. Don't forget too, I mentioned that President Xi Jinping flies a 747. You know, he arrived in Moscow a few days ago in it, a Boeing product. So they're very pleased to see that from that point of view. But the delay is spare parts and equipment and agreeing things and just not having the techniques and the skilled personnel to assemble this aircraft. So converting a civil aircraft really is a non-starter. It would not be much more different than a commercial aircraft used for luxury VIP flying.
Now, how much would one of these cost if you could get one? What would they cost?
Yes. That's a very good question. It would cost at least $450 million by my reckoning. If you were getting a commercial one fitted out, you know, for passenger purposes, it would be a lot less than that. But when you add in bits and pieces, carpets and fittings of gold and silver and that kind of thing, you've got the upper end limit is $450 million in that regard. It's a very limited market, as you can imagine, and it's done to order from that point of view.
Now, we know that in the Middle East, there are people with money beyond the dreams of avarice. Although
yes.
I don't think Trump suffers from anything beyond the dreams of avarice. I think his avarice is uncontained. But to bestow a gift of $450 million on a president, which he gets to keep because it seems it'll be part of, this is an incredible statement, a selection of words that even doesn't sit happily on my lips. The President Trump's library. I mean, what's going to be in his library? But this will become part of his library, which will allow him to continue to fly it as a private citizen.
He will need lots of money, though, to do so, because I was looking at the running costs of 747s, commercial ones now like that. And it's, it's probably in the likelihood of $150,000 or $200,000 per hour to fly an aircraft of that size. You know, the fuel bill alone to fill up the model he's getting for free from Qatar would cost probably between $220,000 and $250,000 for fuel alone, which is, you know, quite an uptake like that. I don't know what the annual pension of a president of the US might be like that, but you want to have a sponsor on board to do that kind of thing. And these aircraft, of course, Pat, as we said before, will be running on liquid fuels, either kerosene or, you know, sustainable aviation fuel or whatever they have. They're designed for 25 and 30 years of lifespan, so there's no getting away from the fact that they
need liquid Trump fuels. Is already coining it in office with his Bitcoin and all the rest of it, so that there'll be plenty of cash there. I reckon his family will enrich themselves to the tune of billions before his presidency ends, which is a scandal in itself, but one which seems impenetrable by Congress, even if they had the appetite to so do. But Trump is already, he has his own private aircraft, doesn't he? I know he does.
Yeah. Yes. He had the Boeing 757 converted many years ago, and I've seen it. The word Trump is emblazoned on the side of it. And before he was re-elected as president, he flew around in various places from that point of view. I just must make another point, too. When you're flying Air Force One, you get special treatment in terms of airspace and runways and airports and that kind of thing. I know that when he came to Ireland, the airports were shut down for 30 minutes beforehand. They clear all the aircraft off any of the airways, any of the traffic that might get in the way, so to speak. There cannot be any risks from that point of view. So the airspace is sterile. The airports themselves have to be kept away, which surprised me that I was able to get under the wing of it down in Shannon all those years ago, because really I had no particular business there. I just wanted to see it, you know, but we managed to negotiate the way in. But they're very tight and controlled. Also, Air Force One crew, the air crew who fly it, those who serve on board it, and those who fix it and maintain it, they're handpicked by Air Force personnel in the Pentagon from that point of view. You can't just rock up and say it's a very, very great privilege to be selected to fly on the squadrons based in a joint base Andrews, which used to be called Andrews Air Force Base. I have been there. It's a great privilege to get into it like that and see the aircraft on the ground. They've got lots of different types of smaller aircraft. J.D. Vance flew Air Force Two into, I think, Israel recently, and that's a 757 like that, but you rarely get the president on that unless it's a short trip, you know.
It's an extraordinary story, but then so much about the Trump administration
is
extraordinary. So the best guess is that this will probably never see service before the end of his term.
Well, you see, the rules are quite clear. The president, and I've seen this, the president has to be in touch with, you know, one of the officers of colonel rank or equivalent to have the what they call the football. It's basically a kind of a container, and it has the secrets and the launch codes for the missiles. So they have to travel with him in that regard. He also has to be able to command and control the Pentagon by communications which are secure. And that's possible now in many of the aircraft used from Andrews Joint Base. But Air Force One is privileged from that point of view. He has got total control. You wouldn't get that easily in any aircraft donated, which was required for civil use, because, as you said, back to the factory. How long will that take? 6 months minimum. And then when he's finished with it after his service, do you strip the aircraft of the equipment again? That's another major overhaul. So it's a complex situation from that point of view. Most unusual story. I couldn't believe it when I heard it.
Aviation expert and airport safety and security auditor Kevin Byrne. Kevin, thank you very much for joining us. Now,
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.